Welcome to Becoming Whole, a weekly show designed for men, women, and families seeking to draw nearer to Jesus as they navigate topics like sexual integrity, relational healing, spiritual health, and so much more. If you long for more of Jesus in these sensitive and important areas of life, join us on the journey towards becoming whole.
We've talked about this before, that in many ways, all of us who are on a spiritual journey are in some process of recovery. We're all recovering from something. And yet there are those of us that also have deep addictions that we are seeking recovery, seeking to receive healing and understanding from God about what's going on. And here at Regeneration, we see a lot of people in that situation. And we notice that there is a kind of a significant difference sometimes between how people go through this recovery. And some are able to really reach a place of deep surrender. And it's disruptive and it's hard, but things come up and they find freedom. And then there's others that just can't quite get to the end of themselves and surrender. So they're kind of going through the motions and it's kind of painful to watch. And we understand that this recovery process is so hard. So today, Josh and I are going to talk about on our own. We've kind of thought about a couple of three things that we've seen where people maybe can't quite get to the depth of recovery that they might need to. And we're going to talk about that in hopes that it'll encourage people in their process. So Josh, do you want to start us off in one of the ways that you thought about, that you see?
Yeah. Thanks, Ken. I think you said it well. I think for me, the ideas that I came up with all had to do with kind of a posture towards recovery. And so the first one that I thought of was the difference between having a posture of short-term versus long-term. And so I think a lot of people come, and what you're even describing about getting to the end of themselves, they're not there. And what they really want to do is to find out what's the least I have to do to kind of get my life back to where it was before whatever blew up. So, you know, like typical experiences, my wife just found out that I've been looking at pornography for the last 10 years. She's obviously upset, you know, let me get in and get this taken care of. And so after 3, 6 months, even a year, it's like, hey, things are going great. They're better. And I'm out of here. And what I've seen over the years is that when somebody has that attitude, like what's the least I can do, what's the shortest time this is going to take, it's understandable. I think there's good in the desire, but I think there's also often an unwillingness to accept that this is actually a deeper work than that. You don't turn a ship that's been headed fast in one direction for 10 years. You don't turn that ship very quickly without it coming back on the course it had been on to begin with. And I've seen so many people jump in and then they leave quickly, and then a little bit later they're back, and they kind of repeat that over and over again. It just belabors the point, makes it longer than it needs to be in the long run for them.
Yeah, we really don't like pain. We don't want to have to, you know, get into it. And so we kind of just say, hey, let's just get back to normal. Let's just do what we can to you know, get this back on track the easiest possible way. And that doesn't work in recovery, does it?
No, and I think you put your finger on the main point is getting back to normal. The truth is that normal was not working.
Right.
And so we really don't want to get back to the way things were while you were living the secret, while things were kind of peaceful on the surface, but there was this undercurrent of problem that wasn't being dealt with. Yeah. So Kit, what about you? Number one for you, what was the shallow versus deeper or real recovery?
I think the first one that came to my mind relates somewhat to yours. It's a little bit different, but you know, it's this idea that we engage in behavior modification, you know, we go through the motions, we attend our recovery meetings, we go to our therapist or our coaching meetings, but we don't really allow the content to penetrate. We don't become vulnerable. We just go through the motions thinking that that's going to be enough. If I go to enough meetings, if I, you know, it's like when I was a new Christian, I think I'm like, oh, I'm a Christian. I go to church, I go to Bible study, but I wasn't really allowing transformation to happen.
Means that I am literally walking places, looking at parts of my life, talking about things that I may never have looked at, talked about, or walked in before. And that takes courage. So I appreciate that.
Renee, and I think that's said that famous quote of hers where she says that vulnerability is the birthplace of courage.
Hmm. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, in order for us to learn to be courageous, we have to be vulnerable.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really true. I think we, you know, we might have an appearance of courage, but unless we're vulnerable first, we won't really be able to tap into courage to do some of these things that are really hard to do. You can't pretend to have courage. You can't pretend to go through these hard steps of recovery. You have to be vulnerable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Talk about it. Talk about it. So my next one, and I just used an illustration here, shallow recovery is often kind of viewed as weeding. It's that kind of posture where a real recovery or a deep recovery is more like excavation. And one other way to think about this is that, you know, we often weed where there are weeds. But the reality of recovery is that it extends beneath the ground in all sorts of directions. And so we're looking for roots that extend to places in the yard, on the property, in our lives that may not be visibly producing weeds right now. So if, for example, you know, I'm dealing with my unwanted sexual behaviors and I walk through the door and I'm trying to, you know, weed those out of my life, not recognizing that the roots or the ground that became fertile to that stuff goes back even into my childhood, to my other relationships, to my marriage, et cetera, et cetera. So having a posture that says, look, if I'm going to really adequately deal with this part of my life, it's going to mean being willing to courageously, vulnerably look into other areas of my life that I may be relatively comfortable with, but that may need excavation. So
I really like that, Josh. It isn't just about going in and plucking a weed. It really is, like you say, going down deep into these roots that go far and wide. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah. And I don't mean by that for those listening, I don't mean by that like all at once. I don't mean, you know, right. Oh, I'm here. Like, let's just, you know, mess up the whole backyard. But it just means being willing to kind of, if you've ever weeded seriously, like there are times you have to be willing to follow the trail. And so, you know, it can be one thing at a time, but it's a commitment to doing what it takes to really eradicate the where the problems come from and take a look at those in a serious way.
I like the encouragement that you're giving people by saying, even though it is true that we need to be able to do that, it does take time and it's okay. You're not going to uproot everything all at once, you know, to be patient with yourself in the process because it's hard work and it's going to take time. So that's good.
Yeah. Yep. What's the next one on your list, Kit?
So one of the other things that I see in meeting with people is that the person has entered into recovery with their goal being to do it for another person. This person wants me to get over this, so I'll do it, rather than a deep conviction that, you know, this is necessary, that there is sin, there is, you know, there are problems. This is an area of weakness for me, and I need to do this for my own life, for my own self, instead of doing it for somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Whether it's a spouse, a parent, you know, if I'm in ministry, I'm doing it to get back into ministry. And it really puts the locus of recovery onto another person, which I think makes it too easy to kind of approach recovery as though I'm not really trying to get better. I'm trying to convince somebody that I'm better enough.
Yeah. Rather than looking internally, you're like, is this enough? Is this enough? Is this enough?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that can be really subtle. I mean, I think that there are, and you can tell me if you've experienced this too, but I've watched husbands who have come in who have remorse for what they've done, feel badly about hurting their spouse, and may have some level of wanting to change their, you know, get after what's really going on. But it's almost as though, because what prompted the recovery, or because the what's the word, but the trigger point, the space where they feel the pain most acutely is in the marriage. It's like they continue to look to their wife for the validation or for the approval that what they're doing is enough, as opposed to certainly working on the relationship with the wife, but also really owning like what's got me here? What, you know, what's going on for me right now? And what am I learning that I need to do for my sake to become the whole person that I was meant to become?
Yeah. And to look to God for that, you know, for that healing and intimacy, not anybody or anything else. Yeah.
Man, yeah, we could go a lot of directions with that one. I think there's such pitfalls there. Okay. So last one for each of us.
Yeah. Go ahead. Tell me what yours is.
So my last one is, this could probably use some unpacking, but approaching recovery as primarily about getting rid of something versus approaching recovery as trying to gain something.
That's good.
So if I have an unwanted sexual behavior, I'm in recovery because I don't want to do that behavior anymore, as opposed to I have this unwanted sexual behavior and I want more of life than I've been experiencing. Mm-hmm. I want to be a man or a woman who approaches life and relationships in a more life-giving, loving way than this, or you know, whatever. Fill in the blank. I mean, what are we in this for? And obviously, it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. But I think those who begin to really wrestle with like, what do I want in life? Now they're really facing, I think, some of the deeper questions, and they're also posturing themselves to be paying attention to things that are really, really important. And I could say more about that in a minute, but anyway, respond to that a little bit, Kit.
Yeah, I really love that. I think it's so critical that this is, you know, really getting to the place where you have a vision for your life, you know, that you want to embrace it. You're kind of exhausted with the way you've been living. It's just, you're done. And you, and because of that, you want to overcome fear. You want to embrace this life and not be complacent and just, you know, get by anymore. And that's a very important part of this.
Yeah, and one important subcategory of that I'm just learning more about, even in my own story in some unique ways today, is that oftentimes some of what we really want in life and really need in life is actually the fact that we haven't gotten there, that we're not experiencing that, is part of why we're wrestling with the things we're wrestling with, part of why we've engaged in the unwanted sexual behavior.
Yes.
A person wants deeper meaning in their lives, and they have been thwarted in that. They have not experienced that. They don't know how to get there. They don't know how to do the hard work, or they're afraid of the hard work. And it's easier just to shortcut to a little bit of a pleasure. But in that light, then the unwanted sexual behavior actually becomes an alarm bell of a clarion call of like, I want something more. Yeah. And as Jay Stringer puts it, he says sometimes that the unwanted sexual behavior can be the most honest part of our lives. It can be trying to tell a truth that we need to listen to.
There is a lot, isn't there, to the idea of expectations we have of our life, you know, that it's got to be exciting and it's got to be grand and it's got to be, you know, and there's a lot to be said, isn't there, for just daily, small, but significant gratitude that can lead to contentment. And so that's a whole nother dynamic, isn't it?
I can see that. Yeah. I think though, I would say like one of the aspects for me that I've seen is that sometimes a person is afraid of the hard steps it requires to get where they want to go. And so, they even might feign contentment, where really what they've slipped back into is a level of passivity, a failure to really go after some aspect of life that they really truly do desire. And I'm not talking about in a graspy discontent, you know, I can make my own, you know, kingdom on the earth kind of thing. But even in a God ordained way, like, who did God create you to be?
Yes.
Like, what's the journey that he's inviting you onto? And if you are in a place where there are limitations around you, what is he inviting you into there? Like, what is that going to be for, as opposed to, just what, it, you know, what are you trying to get away from?
That's really good. Yeah.
So
last one is, it's a little bit tied to the one, the behavior modification one, except it has a religious spin, you know, that we approach it religiously, that we're going to follow rules. We're going to be obedient, without any real spiritual surrender. We may even memorize scripture, but we don't allow it to change our hearts. And so we just kind of put this religious veneer over, I'm doing the right things. So again, it's like the behavior modification, except that it has this, it's well-intended, but it still keeps us from true recovery if we're just putting a spiritual veneer over it instead of really allowing it to break us apart and find redemption.
Kit, I'm so glad that you brought this one up. This is so important. Gosh, it would have been a shame for us to end this without you bringing that up. So the one of the things I think about with that is scripture memorization, or going to scripture. And I am all for scripture memorization. I am all for going to scripture. Romans 12:2. It is so important to renew our minds, and scripture is an incredibly important place to do that. But one of the things I've seen people do is almost like there are these problems, you know, that are arising in their life, and they're just, you know, instead of really addressing the problems, addressing what's underneath the surface, just reciting scripture verses, I'm reading the word, almost like they're just trying to drown out the problems by going over scripture verses. And, which is just, does that make sense? The difference between the two?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's funny how we can just misuse scripture, you know, and even memorizing it, and we can use it like a weapon against people, or, you know, to lord over or to justify, you know. And so obviously the memorizing scripture is a beautiful thing when it's used to, you know, like honestly convict us and guide us, but it can be misused and just go, you know, this a religious kind of behavior can cover up, you know, what seriously needs to be uncovered by God.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that when we find ourselves kind of fearful about exploring the deeper waters of our souls, and putting a religious veneer on it, I'm leaving the past behind, pressing on to the upward call in Christ Jesus, or I've been forgiven, you know, that's all that stuff's in the past. I mean, whatever it is, like, I think there's a fear-based mentality to that, I think, even in our approach to God. And I've certainly been there. I think when I first started being invited into like looking at the deeper waters of my own soul and my own story, I had to go to God many times and say, are you in this? Is this really what you want me to do?
Yes.
And he has led me into some great stuff. He's not just after us, like, you know, wrestling for the rest of our lives. He really does want to help us become free, to strengthen us, to excavate and to change us from the inside out. And that's such a gift.
Yeah, I've wrestled with that too. I mean, wrestled with not even knowing what it meant to actually allow God to have my heart versus just do the right thing, you know? And so fear is a big part of it. Fear and just not understanding and not wanting to give, not wanting to give up that control. I mean, control is a huge thing in all of this. And so just being willing to trust God, and to do that free fall, you know, that free fall, is such an important part of any kind of recovery.
Yeah. So let me wrap up, maybe just by kind of going back to the very first thing we talked about, which is the short-term versus long-term approach. If I could kind of wrap all this up into one word, I would use the word sanctification. And I think you said in the intro that we really are all recovering from something. It is absolutely true. And if we can enfold our recovery journey from unwanted sexual behavior or whatever other addictive stuff we're dealing with, and fold that into this lifelong process of becoming more Christ-like, of learning about our wounds in the past and healing, uncovering lies we believed and figuring out where those came from, how to expunge them from our lives, replace them with truth, uncover places where we've made agreements with the evil one and given him a foothold in our lives, uncovered ways that even today our relationships with others are rooted in something less than healthy, holy, honest, honoring, relating. But if we can enfold all this into, hey, really what we're trying to do is become more like Jesus. And that's the process of sanctification that God invites us into, initiated by Christ, carried on by the Holy Spirit and our cooperation with him. So, I said, I'm going to wrap it up. I was like, that was not a wrap up. That was like an epilogue.
I'm
so concise. So Jesus, thank you for your great love of us, and that you, God, that when you do look at our lives, you don't just see the surface, you see deep within, and you have a heart of compassion for what you see there, or that you want to draw out both that which is under the ground that is poisoning the soil and poisoning the fruit. And Lord, also you want to excavate those aspects that have been buried in our lives that are truly good and beautiful and powerful. Lord, things that got buried along the way that you want to clean off and put in a place of honor as opposed to buried somewhere under the rubble of our lives. And Lord, I pray for Kit and for me and all our listeners who are on recovery journeys in whatever ways. Lord, have your way in us, Lord, that we can more and more look like you, Lord Jesus Christ, and not just look like you on the outside, but be like you through and through. Lord, we ask it for our good, for the good of the world, for the good of your church. Lord, we ask it for your glory, both now and forever. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Becoming Whole. Becoming Whole is an audio ministry of regenerationministries.org. If you would like more information on Becoming Whole, Regeneration Ministries hosts a variety of articles, podcasts, programs, and events to support you on your journey. Until next time, God bless.